In our remaining minutes together tonight, I want to go back to a series that we started last fall entitled Back to Basics. And we looked at some various things that the Bible teaches that we as believers living in these days need to get back to. Our tendency is always to drift away from fundamentals. And I'm not talking about the five fundamentals or the seven as some people say, but there are many fundamentals that are taught in the Word of God. The whole idea that we can condense everything down to five things is ridiculous in my mind. The Word of God is so full of wisdom and principles for how we're to operate our lives, and we need to get back to basics. What happens is we get lazy. And we say, well, I know that. And then we just start parting away and just doing our own thing. We know it up here, but it's not turned into practical living in our hearts and lives. Would you turn to Psalm 37? Psalm 37. I want us to read the first 11 verses. And tonight's, I'm going to start the next back to the basic, and that is becoming specialists in trust rather than in worry. Becoming specialists in trust rather than worry. Verse 1, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, what wonderful truths are found in these 11 verses here in Psalm 37. So easy to read them, but it's another thing to live by them, to become specialists in them. I pray that you would show us from your word how important it is to trust and to build a fence of trust, to keep those things which would attack our faith away, and also to maintain what we have within the fence, that we not lose sight of what you've given to us. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is nothing more common in the world than worry. I have listened over the last 24 hours to nothing but worry in the media. What are they worried about now? War. All right? And they're worried that Trump is trying to create another war to cover up the impeachment. And they're worried about this and worried about that. It was just amazing. Last night when the missiles were coming in, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of World War III. I heard one commentator said that. Well, he was sure to surprise this morning when he got up and heard that none of the missiles hit anything of any consequence and nobody died. All right? Now, what happened to World War III? Now, I'm not saying that we may not have a war. I don't know. I'm not God. But I do know this. People love to worry. We're specialists in worrying. We worry about everything. We worry about whether it's going to be too cold. We worry about whether our plants are going to freeze. We worry about whether the dog's comfortable tonight. Or the cat. We don't want them to freeze either. We worry about everything in the world. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's a distraction from trusting God. And I want us to think about this. Do you realize in the 1920s that they came up with a new physiological nervous condition that they named Americanitis. Anybody ever heard of that? I was reading, just reading through, and they were talking about all the nervous breakdown things, and they said, yes, in the 1920s, there were people in America suffering from nervous breakdown because they were not benefiting from the American dream. You know, the 20s was a very prosperous time, and everybody was doing well, and there were some people that weren't. They said, this is very interesting. This is only happening in the United States. This is not happening in Europe. This is not happening in Asia, but it's happening in America, so they called it Americanitis. And it was a physiological nervous condition related to anxiety over not progressing in the American dream. What? We've got a special anxiety because we're not progressing in the American dream. But do you know there are people that are suffering from that tonight? What? There's people in my church that get to go on vacation 3 times a year. Really? Yeah, I mean, do you realize that there are people around the world that never go on vacation ever? I heard just recently about a man on the West Coast, 90 years old, never has gone on vacation in his life. Still works. And they asked him and said, why haven't you taken a vacation? He said, you know, people have been telling me that all my life. And he said, you know what? I don't want to go on vacation. I love working. And immediately people jumped to the conclusion, that man's crazy. That man's got something wrong with him. Well, maybe he's got a little bit different perspective on things, that's all. Is that okay with you? Now, some people, they can't handle that. If I don't have this and I don't have that, I'm just going to lose it. Well, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in that is going to help you live like this? Or are you going to trust in the Lord? You see, there's a big problem today. Worry is characteristic of every race. Worry is inbred in the human nature. It's part of our sin nature to worry and to fret over everything. In this psalm, the psalmist gave 4 encouraging assurances to believers who question how God is running His world. Oh, the evil are with us. Oh, there's bad people in the world. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of, say it out loud, evildoers. You mean I ought not to worry about the Iranians? If I don't worry about them, who is? Well, guess what? Fret not thyself for evildoers. Why? The why is answered here. Do you see that in verse 1? Boy, the Bible is so practical. Be thou not envious against the workers of iniquity, they, verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, who said that? God did. Through His psalmist to us. God's going to take care of them. So I'm not going to wring my hands and worry about it. He said, well, what happens if thousands of Americans get killed? I just have to keep trusting the Lord. Isn't that what we've done as Christians all through the centuries? You think about the Inquisition. Whenever they were attacking, the Catholic Church was attacking Protestants and torturing them and killing them. Do you know that you can go down to the Thames River today in England and see the remnants of the gibbets that they had along the shore in which they drowned people for various crimes, including Christians? You can still see the chains hanging out where a gibbet hood, and they would strap the person inside and lock it and wait for high tide. And the high tide would come in and those people would sit there gasping and finally die. What are we going to do? You just trust God. Fret not thyself. 3 times in this passage that we're told that, not to fret. In other words, we're to become specialists in what? Trust. Specialists in trust. I think about the 2 chapters in the Bible that are the don't worry chapters. That's what I've called them. Psalm 37 is in the Old Testament, the don't worry chapter. And Matthew 6 is the corresponding chapter in the New Testament. And in Matthew chapter 6, it says in that passage, take no thought. By the way, in the Hebrew, this idea of fret not literally means do not get overheated. You know, when we were growing up, we had an old station wagon, 1965 Ford sedan, and we carried gallon jugs of water in the back of the thing. And Dad taught us, Roger and I, that whenever the temperature gauge goes up high, you get out as quick as you can, open up the radiator thing, and put the water in because we're getting low. We had a big radiator leak. And so we learned how to, you know, pour water in that. You know, we didn't have to do it every day, but every few times it'd start overheating. Pull off the road, open the radiator cap, pour the water in, and then we were off. We could go on to our next spot. You know, that's what God says to us. Don't get overheated. Cool it, is what He says. That's in the Hebrew. Don't get overheated. Don't fret about that. Don't worry about that. You may say, well, people ought to be worried about that. Well, make sure you use the right term. Worry is not the good term to use. Concern is a good term, and we're going to talk about that in the future, about we ought to be concerned about things. That's what adults do. They get concerned about things, but we don't worry about them. We don't worry about them. I want to finish with this. We need to build a fence of trust. A properly maintained fence is a good thing. Every year, our maintenance guys go out and they meet the neighbors all the way down our fence and they clean them out. And we get down there and there's all kinds of stuff growing up along the fence and we have to get out there and clean them and spray, you know, Roundup and so forth like that to maintain the fence row. Fences make good neighbors. You know where we fail in our trust? Is that we don't set up defensive things to ward off those attitudes in our life that destroy trust. Last night, one of the correspondents in Baghdad was saying, I hear helicopters flying overhead, they're American. And they were flying the green zone. Those American choppers are loaded with missiles. And I just said, I'm going to just research this a little bit. So I went online and was Googling that, and they have weaponry on those helicopters that if a missile is fired behind them, they have 360 sight in those helicopters. They can see wherever it's coming from. The computer system on board will immediately lock on, the missile will fire, and it will work its way around and take out the missile behind it. Because they don't know where it's going to come from when they're flying around, but they've got their defenses up. And Christian, I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't put up a fence in your life, a defense that keeps certain things out and certain things in your Christian life, you're not going to be worth the gunpowder it takes to blow you up for God. You have to ward off and you have to set up defensive positions when it comes to this matter of faith and trust in God. If you're not careful, you can talk about faith till you're blue in the face, but if you're not fighting off those things which destroy faith, you're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. What did Paul tell the Corinthian believers? He that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. So how do you take heed? You put up defensive measures to make sure that you don't fall. And we're going to deal with this building a fence of trust, because I think it's important, folks, that we not only consider faith, believing God, but that we put up defenses so that we won't stop believing God. Because there are things that will worm its way into your heart and life and into my heart and life that will begin to diminish that faith and trust in God. And then you'll start worrying about finances. You'll start worrying about the Iranians. You'll start worrying about all the things that are going on in America. You'll start worrying about those things, and it moves away from concern to worry, which is destructive. Concern is good. Worry is not. Anxiety, panicking over things that come along. You need to rest in the Lord, and you better get your weapons out and shoot down those missiles, that the fiery darts that come in from the wicked one. You better get that shield up. The shield of what? Faith. See, that's what faith does. Faith not only keeps those things which are holy and good, but it prevents things from coming in and destroying what's holy and good. And that's what Psalm 37 is all about. And we're going to bring out those facts as we study. Back to basics. What does it mean to exercise faith? It's both positive and negative. It's believing God, but it's putting up the shield of faith to hold off the darts that are coming in from the wicked one. May we have our shields up, folks, because the weapons are being fired at Christians, and you better be alert in your walk with the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word that's so wonderfully clear, if we pay attention. It's so wonderfully helpful if we dig into the word. So I pray, Father, that you would help us not to just be blindly accepting of certain facts about Christianity, certain facts about things that we all know, but Lord, dig a little deeper to get into your word and know what it means to exercise faith. It's not only on the offensive, but it's also on the defensive. And I pray that you would help us in this regard to maintain our faith in thee and not be fretting about all the evildoers in the world and all the things that would distract us from following after thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.